you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's November 20th, 2012, and if you were tuned in yesterday, you got to hear us hovering. I'll have Jason explain exactly what that meant, but this is a week that we're going to be studying various hymns and some of the traditional favorites, or maybe some of the even more contemporary ones, like yesterday we talked about As the Deer, and that's only about 30 years old, from the 80s,
pretty
I believe.
Much. And yeah, that was, you would think it was from the 1700s.
Yeah. Yeah. So today we're going to talk a little about Christ the Solid Rock and maybe Holy, Holy, Holy. Those are a few of your favorites, Joey. And all week long we'll be covering some other hymns, and then on Friday we'll transition to Christmas music, and I'll talk about Who Is He in Yonder Stall, one of my favorite Christmas arrangements and hymns of old. Well, Joey, before we play a version of Christ the Solid Rock by the Gettys, why did you pick this as one of your favorite hymns?
Oh, wow. That is probably one of my maybe top five favorite hymns right there, because when I... Oh, we were going to go way back, like Old Testament way back here. I think when I first became a Christian... years ago, and that was actually one of the first hymns that I started listening to, because, you know, when you first become saved and a Christian, you're all excited, so you're like, okay, I'm going to buy some Christian t-shirts, some Christian, you know, cupcakes, and some Christian music, all of that stuff. So I was listening to some Christian songs online, and I just remember hearing this song. I was like, I like this song, Christ the Solid Rock, and this is really cool. And then the song actually stemmed from Matthew chapter 7, I think verse 24. Let me read this to you. It actually talks about the wise and foolish builders. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice... It is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had the foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on a sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. And actually, what I personally kind of take away from that is we have an option, because it says, you hear these words I'm saying, you know, and he gives two examples. Those people that chose to build their foundation upon Christ, and those who did not. For those who put their trust and their faith in Christ, he is like that rock, that foundation. There's that safety. There's that security to it. And being a fresh Christian, that was awesome. You know, I was ready to, you know, I was going crazy for Jesus back then, and still am today. I just got to clarify that. But, you know, that was just so comforting to hear. You know, when you first, you know, accept Christ in your life, you really don't understand this Jesus stuff, you know, like, hey, this is kind of cool. But, you know, when you dig more and more into it, it just knowing that there's security and there's comfort in Christ, even in the storms of life.
And he's that solid rock. But for the listener that's scanning the dial, that's tuning in, coming to Christ, believing in Jesus, what does that mean? Maybe give us just a thumbnail into your spiritual journey, because I know you've shared aspects of your life on your Thursday program, Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. And I had you on a year or two back because, thank you, God, you've been serving this radio ministry for a few years now. But what does it mean to come to Christ, that you gave yourself to Jesus? Why were you excited about that day?
Wow, that's a great question. Hang on, I got to go way back in the memory banks there. I think it was just the excitement knowing that I have purpose in life. I'm valued, because I grew up without knowing my dad, so I didn't have that male role model in my life telling me, hey, you know what? You're valued. You're appreciated. You're loved. And my mom tried doing those things, but she was mom and dad and working like two or three jobs. So she did the best that she could. That's nothing against her, you know, because she was trying to fill the gap, so to speak. So when I was like 17 years old, I just had this excitement knowing that I'm loved and I'm valued. And, you know, and like I said, you know, looking and finding out that Christ is my foundation, he's my rock, there's security and safety. I've never had that before, apart from my mom, which was, you know, pretty much part-time, again, because she was working all these jobs. So there's that excitement to it, and I'm valued and I'm treasured, and there is hope in life in the midst of whatever I was going through as a teenager.
And the fact that as you accepted Jesus into your heart, that your sins were forgiven. that weight or that burden, because we all know we fall short of the mark and that we can't get into heaven, we can't earn our way, and you knowing or coming to that realization that God so loved you that he paid that price.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. Yes, yes. I forgot about that part. But, you know, actually, it was, I remember I was.
Not that I was trying to help you with your old testimony, but I know you personally, and I know that redemptive work that God does in all of us. It's just amazing that God can forgive us of our sins, that it's only by his grace, his mercy, his redemptive work.
Yeah, and you know what? I remember, like I said, I was like 17, and I was actually in a Christian counselor's office, and it was so cool. It was a counselor. I think his name was Jeff Foray in Arlington Heights, Illinois. I was going to counseling at the time, and I wasn't even a Christian then. I was kind of, hey, you know, this, you know, it's spiritual stuff. So, you know, there may be some value in going to this. So, and he laid out the gospel message, and he told me, you know, the sin that you have in your life right now, you will not go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that was convicting. My heart dropped because I grew up, you know, with some religious stuff. So I thought my works, you know, my good deeds. Yeah, I had some bad stuff there, but, you know, my good stuff will outweigh that. So, you know, God has to, you know, like me because I have some good in me, you know, some more good than bad. But that's unbiblical. That's wrong theology. And the counselor at the time told me that the sin in your life, you cannot go to heaven. And I just felt convicted. I felt bad. I felt like, oh, man, yeah, that's terrible. It feels like filthy rags and dirty and muck and playing in the mud and just like, it's terrible. He's right. And the Holy Spirit was just revealing this to me. But all the while, all that was going on, I hear this little voice, what's your family going to think? Really? You know, you become a Christian. Come on. Your family is not going to like this at all. Don't do this. This is dumb. Obviously, we know where all that came from. But praise God that I heard the more louder voice. And I responded, and I did that prayer, and I was confessing my heart and soul and all of that to Jesus and putting my trust in him and building my foundation, building my life on the rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but
the Gettys on Christ, the Solid Rock, here on Great News Radio. Hello there, it's the Tuesday edition. That's Jason, that's Mark, I'm Joey. I'm pointing. You can't really see that, but that's okay. Just use your imagination. Yeah, we're spending some time here today talking about our favorite hymns, and that right there on Christ the Solid Rock, it is just one of my favorites because I can rejoice. I can celebrate. I can have this hope and this peace because I am building my foundation with the rock of Jesus Christ. I like to do it 100% of the time, but there's peace and comfort knowing that Jesus Christ is my foundation, my rock.
Now, Jason, I can't remember, you've been in the studio a lot of times, but we were talking about when you build that foundation, that cornerstone, mm-hmm. is what really allows the building, the framework, to be level or congruent or to be straight, to be properly built, that Jesus Christ really is that solid rock, that cornerstone.
Yeah, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ. Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone, and that cornerstone is what the whole building is joined by, and it allows the building to be straight. If you don't have a cornerstone, you won't know how the building's supposed to be. So the cornerstone is integral to the building's being able to be straight, to be strong. But I'd love to go back to Matthew 7, and then I'd love to understand some of the history of the song with you, Joey. And one thing that I love that Jesus does here in Matthew chapter 7, when he talks about the wise and foolish builder, and I wouldn't call it the wise and foolish builder, I'd call it the faithful and the foolish builder.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine. So Jesus right away takes ownership of the word. He is the word, as it says in John chapter 1. And he says, if you hear this word, it's going to obviously change your life as you gave in your testimony. But he says he'll put it into practice like the wise, or I would say the faithful man who built his house on rock. And then it says in verse 25, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and it beat against the house. Then he goes on to talk about the foolish man, the one who doesn't put the word into practice, who doesn't put Jesus in the center of his life or Jesus into practice. And then it repeats it again. It said the rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house. Exactly the same wording in verse 27 as in 25. And what Jesus is saying is he's saying, you could be faithful or you could be foolish. The storms will still come.
That's right.
It just depends on where you're at. But storms are going to come irregardless. I mean, Jesus always brings such a measure of truth to it. Jesus doesn't – he's not a salesman. He's not trying to sell you something by making it sound as good as possible. He's not going, whoever puts this word into practice will get out of jail for free. Everything will be perfect. Your life will be wonderful. He goes, no way. Actually, the storm's going to come, and the rain will come down. The streams will rise. It'll beat against your house. But you'll have a different hope. And I find that fascinating because oftentimes I think culturally – religion has packaged Jesus to be some kind of traveling salesman who arrives at your door and he knocks and he offers you salvation and a different life. And then people after a little while go, wait a second. I mean, when you're done buying the cupcakes and the T-shirts and all those things and you go, well, wait a second. Why is my life still hard? Why do I still have to work at my marriage? Why do I still have to parent my kids? I mean, isn't God divinely making my kids just perfect now that we have Jesus in our hearts and in our lives?
Not even close.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, so I love that Jesus is gut level honest with the people around him. Jesus doesn't come and just try and build the numbers. Jesus comes and he tries to build the intentionality and tries to build the faith. And he builds all these things by being truthful. You know, we talked on a show a few weeks ago, Mark, about Luke chapter 14, where Jesus has the disciples count the cost. He says, anybody who wants to come after me, you want to be my disciple, you have to do these things. You have to hate your mom and your dad and your brother and your sister and all these people. And if you don't, well, you can't be my disciple. And Jesus always comes and offers us the truth. And it's what we don't want to hear, but it's what we need to hear. And I found it fascinating. I did a little bit of, while you were telling your story there, I did a little Googling to find out about this hymn, because I love the hymn. And we watched a movie recently called Second Chance, and it's a great movie with Michael W. Smith, and I forget who plays the African-American part in there, about two pastors, a mega pastor from a real affluent suburban church and then an African-American pastor from a very urban church. And they're about to knock down the church. The culmination of this movie is the church is going to be knocked down. And he gives this really passionate sermon that really – it moves my heart. I've seen the movie three or four times now, and it moves my heart. He quotes Malcolm X, and Malcolm X said, we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us.
Hmm.
And he goes on to say, and I feel like the rock, Plymouth Rock has landed on me. And then he says very passionately, but today I have traded in my rock for a rock that lasts. The rock of ages. And he goes on to give metaphors for the rock and for Jesus as the rock. And I think we have to remember that, because often we want to think that the rock lands on us. But this hymn was written in 1797 by Edward Mote, a pastor and a hymn writer born in London. I love this. His parents owned the pub. I love that because really, that along with the people of the Bible. I mean, we read the people of the Bible. We, you know, in church we're going through Ruth. Boaz's parents, he probably should not have turned out well. He probably should not have been a righteous man based on who his parents were. Over and over again, we look at people in the Bible who their parents were, and we go, how is it that they made it? I mean, I look at my own parents who are still far from God. How is it that I made it? And I know it's because Jesus is relentless by his Spirit, that God was seeking after me from the first day until the last. He wasn't going to let me go. He's going to battle through my hard-heartedness. I think it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, pulling water out of a hard rock. But this guy shouldn't have made it. I mean, his parents owned the pub. They probably didn't go to church. And it says Edward, left to his own devices, played and caroused in the streets. He was trained as a cabinet maker and worked in London for many years. He entered into the ministry as a pastor of Rehoboth Baptist Church in Horsham in Sussex. And he was there for 26 years, but I really wanted to key in on this quote that he did. Said that he was well-loved by his congregation. They loved him to death. And at one point, they offered him the church building as a gift. And it said that Mote made this comment. He said, I don't want the chapel. I only want the pulpit. And when I cease to preach Christ, then turn me out of that also.
Hmm.
Wow.
And I love that because I think that not only is it the pulpit, you know, some people, they differentiate. They say, well, you know what, Joey, I mean, you're on Christian radio, and you obviously are following Jesus. And Mark, you have a radio station, and so obviously you're following Jesus. Jason, you're a pastor, and you're at a church, so you're obviously following Jesus. I mean, all of you guys have got, all of us have got some sort of pulpit. And some people will think that we've got a pulpit and they don't. And every single person has a pulpit. By the way that they live, everybody's preaching some sort of message. Everybody's proclaiming the gospel somehow. And so I love that he says this because he says, when I'm not fit for the pulpit, then get rid of me out of that also. And we all should take that mindset, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, like you're saying, we're all influencers. We have a range of influence, those that are parents over their children, those that have hobbies and they interact with other guys, men or women, those that are in the workplace, those that are at the gas station pumping gas, how they can influence the people they come in contact with. And I also like something that Tony Evans has said, and we referenced this early on, but if you're not in a storm, you're soon to be in a storm.
Exactly.
Or you're just coming out of a storm. You know, just accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing him as our solid rock, doesn't mean things are always easy. The storms will come. It's just that we have him to be grounded into, yeah, and he will help us through it all.
Where are you going to be after that storm hits?
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, O may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Here's Crystal Lewis.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I cannot trust the sweetest thing, but wholly lean on Jesus.
Sound.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. We'll continue with our hymn series tomorrow. Jason will talk about one of his favorites, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, not only a Christmas song, as Joey Kroll, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and I will join you again as we'll continue our hymn series. Thursday, the doxology, and Friday, Who Is He in Yonder Stall? Thanks for listening, everyone, and may Christ be your solid rock today and always. For on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. God's very best to you.
In Him be found, dressed